and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, and still growing our affiliate list, and we are adding to it, man. Thank you so much again to our friends in Flint at WFNT and all of our other great affiliates across the Great Lakes State. Find us online, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there also. Send us an email. Let us know what's on your mind so we can communicate with you guys. And we're getting ready. Darren, you know what? This is going to be the ugliest thing, the ugliest four-letter word I've ever said at this point in time of the year. It is fall. We are coming very close to it. We might as well just acknowledge the fact that summer is winding down as we are now in August, but that does not mean we stay indoors. And before I go on and wax on about the weather and the changes coming, we got to thank our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral for being part of this. They've been with us for 5 years, and they are a great company in Michigan, putting on some phenomenal product. So make sure you get some Lucky Buck and get your spaces spruced up as we are getting ready to start trimming the lanes and getting ready for fall and bow season. But want to get back to what I was talking about a few seconds ago, and the F word, which is fall. And we are getting ready to see some changes in the water, changes in behaviors of fish. And sometimes we kind of change our target fish. And we're looking right now, we're getting into the perch and walleye, the late bite, because the really hot days of summer, there's still going to be a few, but not as many. Brian Brosdahl is our guest here on the Lucky Buck Hotline. And bro, I want to talk perch with you a little bit. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, really good. Looking forward to actually catching some perch today.
Now, you're over in Minnesota, and every time I, talk to somebody from Minnesota, I ask them if they know you. Because it's like, but it's like working at GM or a hospital or someplace. There's a few of you people out there, it's just not everybody can know, bro.
Well, the thing is, I might be from Minnesota, but I love fishing in Michigan, and there's no better state to catch big jumbo perch. And in the fall, the perch go on a feeding binge. And right now, they're starting to pick up everywhere. Just watch those water temperatures. As they start to cool off, the perch become more accessible. And all summer, they've been feeding on bug hatches. Then they switch over to, they go from minnows, the bug hatches to minnows, and then they go to crayfish. So it's a constant change. And I think that as we get into fall, their appetites change. They'll take whatever. But you'll know the perch are feeding on crayfish if they have a blue jaw. Like, you'll know I'm eating ice cream because I wear it sometimes. But you'll know they're eating on crayfish because the perch have a blue jaw. And definitely just know the natural iodine in the crayfish creates this. So if you see that blue jaw, then you got to drag your minnow across the bottom, and you're definitely going to do better. But I've heard of all different ways of catching perch. I know people who take a small shrimp and they actually peel it out of the shell and use a small section of the shrimp. And to me, that's hard to do because I'm going to want to eat it.
Right. We don't get fluffy by accident.
It's kind of a technique that a lot of people use.
Now, see, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of using a saltwater fish to catch freshwater. That's pretty interesting. But I mean, the genetic makeup is very similar anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And, one thing you'll find with perch in the fall, they're not going to be fussy eaters. They're going to eat whatever they can get. And perch are cannibals. They feed on other perch. So perch patterns work really well on lures, and they actually target their own. Young of the year perch can be about an inch and a half to 2 inches in size, depending on the lake growth rates. And every lake's different. Some lakes are deep and cold, so you get a slower growth rate on the fish. And some lakes are really, warm. They're warmer lakes because they're shallow and they're full of weeds. So definitely you know, just keep an eye on that stuff, and that'll determine the patterns of colors that you're going to use on your baits. And absolutely, a simple bait is a jig. That's a simple bait delivery system, and I've seen it where just a jig and a spinner catches just as many perch, like a thumperhead, and using a half a minnow also helps, because perch tend to jab at the bait, try to kill it before they eat it, and a thumperhead with a minnow snipped in half is pretty hard to beat.
Brian Brosnall is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Bro is a pro angler out of Minnesota and guide with Bro's Guide Service. Bro, I want to talk about differences like places like Lake St. Clair, which are great for perch, and Lake Erie, which are great for perch. I mean, the makeup of these lakes are very different, but there's great perch in both of them.
Oh, absolutely. St. Clair is a diverse fishery, and it's shallower. They eat a lot of perch, but remember, there's on Erie, there's white perch, and the young of those get fed on heavily. The emerald shiners are part of the forage base. There's just so many things for them to eat. Even a goby, if they get their fins on one of those, is going to be a food. But it's such a diverse thing, and there's things that we haven't even seen yet that those things are eating out there. But in St. Clair, there's a lot of weeds, and weeds are just healthy, and crayfish, they produce a lot of crayfish, so the perch are well fed. And that's the thing, what produces jumbo perch is a body of water that has food for them all the time. Not just shiners when the water's cool, crayfish when during the molting period. There's always some food around them, you know, freshwater shrimp, which are natural to the lakes. You know, they thrive in some lakes, and they're less populated in others. Then, of course, all the bycatches. Deep mud creates a great forage base for the fish, because there's chironomids, which are bloodworms, and everything. It's all part of the perch thing. So the lakes that have the stunted perch just are missing some of the links in the food chain, mm-hmm. and the Great Lakes have some big perch. And the best perch fishing on Erie is obviously a little bit farther away from population bases, so just finding boat access and going out and fishing hard to soft bottom edges, but to kind of get away from the heavy populated areas, and the perch sizes grow, and that's as simple as it is. But on St. Clair is going to be exceptional this year. I have a lot of friends fishing there all the time, and this past winter was super exceptional when they could stay on the fish and they were catching really nice ones. But there's also inland lakes and lakes to the north that are super perch factories.
Absolutely. Brian Brosdahl is our guest here. You can catch him on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. We've got a link directly to Brian Brosdahl and Bro's Guide Service out of Minnesota. And we are speaking to him. He's out in Minnesota right now. He's going to do some fishing for himself. And you're going to go after some walleye today?
We'll mess around with walleyes for a few hours, and they're biting pretty good. It's on spinners and bottom bouncers, but the butterfly blades from Northland, we're able to go a little slower with a crawler or a leech on the back, and the walleyes are pretty easy to get. Once you pull those out and start bottom bouncing, it's pretty fast, a limit in an hour or two, and then maybe mess around with the perch. And the big jumbo perch are starting to show up. We're seeing perch 12 to 14 inches, but that's not every fish. You have to.
Sure.
The thing with perch, it's a lot of action, a lot of sorting, but those big knob-headed giant perch are starting to show up, and they're very colorful. They really put on their fall pageantry with orange fins, stripes, and it's actually a delicacy. Perch are absolutely delicious fish.
Absolutely.
I don't blame people for fishing for them.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is going to return with us for another segment. Keep it here. We are Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and you can reach me directly via my cell phone or via the email, outdoormailbag@gmail.com. All of that information is on our website.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here all over the Great Lakes State on our great affiliates and all over the world, wildmichiganradio.com, speaking with Brian Brosdahl. And I know that this is his favorite thing to talk about in the world, talking about panfish, talking about bluegill. And there's nobody I've ever met in my life that has a passion for bluegill and finding him like Brian Brosdahl. Now, Broa is a pro staff member for Frabel. He's been a pro staff member for Northland for a long time. Aquaview is another great company that he's had his hands with. All of those great companies, St. Croix Rods too, all kind of play in hand with finding big bluegill.
Oh, absolutely. I can't stress enough that you can drive around with your depth finder. I'll use side imaging on my hummingbird to see little circles in the distance. I like to set it at 70 to 100 feet. So, you know, remember on your screen, you got two sides that are 70 to 100 feet. So don't set it too far because the fish become smaller and smaller. So you want to make them a little bigger so you can see them. And cruise the weed edge, and when you see these little circles show up, look like little buckshot blasts in your screen, those are some bluegills. And it'll look like, and then you can drive, once you mark them, you can drive over them and take a look at them on down imaging or straight sonar. But when you drop a camera, that's a truth teller. No matter where I've been, I love it. But I put an extra weight. I have a HD7, and, well, HD just, you know, it's high definition, so you can see the color of the weeds, but put an extra weight and a fin on there, and you can really cook along the weed edge. And if you cruise along the weed edge with a camera, you're going to find them. It's just a matter of time before you run into the big mother load. And big bluegills, when they go, there's nothing more fun. They fight so hard. And there again, don't put your ice fishing stuff away. We like using ice fishing tackle in open water also. If they get fussy, drop down a small tungsten mini fireball with a small piece of a crawler or whatever you have. Even plastics work really well in the summertime. Small bloodworm tail. But thumperhead with a chunk of crawler is usually about the best. I like stuff with spinners. This time of year, from August till September, that thumperhead's on my lines more often than not, even for walleyes. But bluegills can take a bigger bait, especially if they're nice big ones. And so I'm always looking with the Aquaview, and it sorts things out fast. You can cruise up and down with your sonars, but drop the camera. It's a great way to go. And I'm actually putting a weight on so I can go 7 miles an hour to really cover water fast.
Wow, that's cruising with a camera down.
Absolutely. You could stack as many weights as you want. They're designed so you can just keep stacking them. And my camera is super heavy because I'm in a hurry. Or
right.
You can put it on a pole, a painter's pole, and or they have them push poles that that you use for duck hunting, or they use them in the Keys. They're a little bit more expensive, a couple hundred bucks, but if you put the camera, they have an attachment so you can put it on a pole, drop it down and hold that, cruise along the weed line. Then you can raise and lower and turn if you miss a fish. It's pretty amazing, and you're starting to see the Bass Elite guys using cameras on poles to check out docks and weed beds. And that's something that I use more often than not. And I've always used a camera to help with bluegills. And is it cheating? No, because once you're fishing for them, they don't always bite. But you can also use it in downview mode under your boat when you spot lock or drop the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch how the fish behave around your bait. You'd be surprised how big a bluegills will be down there, and they let the little ones go in first. So the real trick is to get below them. And, put an extra chunk of crawler on there and get the big ones or the little ones to hit it, and they'll take a little piece off, then drop it down to the big ones. And you can do that with a camera, because you can see what's going on at all times. The Aquaview camera.
Brian Brosdahl is our guest here, speaking with us on the Lucky Buck Hotline. And, Bro, you said something that really kind of, you know, caught me off guard is when you said bluegills being picky.
they can be ultra picky because, well, they have binocular vision.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see microscopic organisms plain as day. And, you know, they can also see your line. If you're in heavy weeds, I've never known bluegills to be real fussy in weeds as far as line diameter because there's stuff all over the place. But in an open playing field like the basins or off the outside of the weeds, you got to go light line, especially if you're fishing for big, fussy ones that have been targeted and people are after them. Everybody likes catching big bluegills. So light line is not only is it good to catch them, but it's a lot of fun. A light line and a panfish St. Croix, something really light. And I'm super excited because they're really getting into panfish, and St. Croix is coming out with some high-end panfish rods, and I can't wait to get my hands on them.
Yeah, that's something that's, you know, look, we've done that. We probably fished for panfish more than anything as a culture, but the industry is now catching up.
The industry is catching on, and it's funny because we've always targeted big panfish and been chasing them, and they're not an easy fish, but there's nothing more addicting than catching a big gill. But now they're with these ultralights and all these different actions, it's ice fishing was a little ahead of it, but you're going to see it happen because bluegills and crappies, especially throughout the entire U.S., are probably the most targeted species there is.
Really?
So we can think it's bass, but you know, a lot of the bass pros and bass fishermen, when they're when they want to get fish to eat, they're going to take crappies or whatever, any kind of those fish or panfish whenever they can. And so everybody's, you know, using their heavy equipment sometimes to catch panfish, and that works. You can just tie on a real light leader onto your line, but there's nothing like catching them on an ultralight because you're giving the bluegill even footing with you. You know, because they're a smaller fish. Don't tackle them with a broomstick. Go out there with an ultralight light line. It's an absolute blast. And if you don't have that, or the war department won't let you buy one, bring your ice fishing rods out in the boat. I see people with ice fishing rods out in the boat, and I do it also. And it's not a bad thing if you have a longer rod that could reach over the edge. If you're in a John boat, it doesn't take much of a rod to reach over the edge, and that light, whippy ice fishing rod is fun to use. And you know, as long as there's no wind or anything, and then I see it all the time. The hardcore panfish people always pack an ice fishing rod in the boat, and be polite. Bring your winter electronics, your winter Hummingbirds, or whatever you have for the person who's not next to the depth finder screen, so they can actually see their bait and relate to the fish. If you're sitting in one spot, not moving too fast, the transducer will naturally stay vertical, and you can fish under your transducer. So bring your Helix 7 or your flasher and offer it up to the other people in the boat. I think it's a great way to go, and then your friends catch it too.
All right, Brian Brosdahl, find him, brosguideservice.com. Maybe book a trip out there in Minnesota. And as always, man, appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.
Well, thanks for having me, Durant. Everybody have fun on the water.
Absolutely. Brian Brosdahl here on the Lucky Buck Hotline. More coming your way on Wild Michigan.